Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Father, we give you praise and we honor you because there's none like you, and we thank you for supplying the wisdom and the strength. Tonight, yet again, Father, speak to us and help us in every area of need, in Jesus' mighty name. All right, let's give the Lord a big, big hand. God bless you. You may please be seated. Thank you. All right. Good evening, everyone. Well, let me ask quickly, how has this series been? Have you been blessed so far? All right. So we have dealt with some of the common causes of hurt in church. Amen. And Jesus said it is impossible for offense not to come. There will always be offense. I'm going to give today. Today is going to be a lot of very, very firm conversation. I understand the weight of what we are doing here in the scheme of things for the body of Christ. So I'd like for us to pay attention, particularly if you're a minister. If you know anyone who is a minister, a young minister, or any minister who needs to learn, there's going to be so much in a short while tonight. There's going to be so much. So I want you to please pay attention. Now, tonight we want to go into common errors people make when they are hurt in church. Common errors people make. They are common mistakes. And let me give a foundation to that. Like I said when I started the teaching, many believers don't cut church some slack. Then, as I study further on this subject, one of the reality that keeps jumping at me is the fact that 90% of people in church are yet to accept the church as their spiritual family. Majority of these people sees the church only as a gathering. In fact, as an option. So what happens is, when things happen in church, you expect, or the expectation of the pastorate, in quote now, is that the response of this individual or this set of people is the response of those who have received the church by revelation. But you get the response of those who have received the church as an option. Are you following what I'm saying here? So 90% of people in church are yet to accept that the church is their God-ordained spiritual family. And it's the same thing. Some people get married and they enter the marriage with the consciousness of, if it doesn't go the way I like, that's the end of it. Why? Because there's no understanding and regard for covenant. It is God who set the solitary in family. So who places people to church? The church will do their publicity and all that. But the one who really bring that conviction. How come you lose that conviction at the sight of any little misunderstanding? It is the same thing, copy and paste in all aspects of life. It shows that the individual has no regard for commitment. And that's why I said we need to accept the church sometimes the way our fathers did. The early church were the most persecuted people. The book of Hebrews 11 said they were sown asunder. They will put them in the amphitheaters of those days. And they used church people as games. Women and children, they will release lions. But none among those things could make them deny their faith. And I believe in Nigeria, there's a lot of difference between the church in the north and the church everywhere else. An average believer in the west, south, and east has been taught self-preservation. There is nothing like losing, suffering, and dying in a dimension of faith. And somehow, it is because many pastors have been bullied into certain emphasis. For instance, if you post certain things online, I made a post online about the fact that many believers can make sacrifice, but yet it's sacrifice of fools and all that. You should have a plan for your investment. Oh, many people like it. And they began to hail me. But what if we tell you the other side? So what is happening is that people are seeing the version of truth that the crowd likes, and they are giving them the gospel. The gospel is good news. Ministry is not an invitation to please people. That's why I said we're going to have frank talk. Ministry is an invitation to do what God has said you should do, even if you will have to die without them understanding it. Many of the patriarchs of old gave prophecies. Prophecies that after their life, generations after, those they prophesied to still don't understand, but yet they did ministry. Jesus was slapped. They spat on his face. They hit him with a rod. They forced a crown of thorn into his head. They pierced him. They made him naked. He was flogged. Then he was killed. And that's ministry. Let me advise pastors. You will not be able to do ministry for long if you despise God and honor men. That was the mistake of Saul. Your assignment is to know what God has designed you to do and face it. Yes, you do it with the cloak of meekness and love. There are three pitfalls for the 21st century ministers. Number one is the desire to trend. Number two is the desire to be loved. Number three is the tendency of being intimidated through mob attack. You want to trend. And so in the attempt to trend, many preach a gospel that they are not practicing, but it's good for media. I've never been this disgruntled about doctrine the way I feel whenever I go on social media. People say this, God told me this, God, ask them, what did the Bible say? I saw a video today of a woman preaching saying that If you see, if two people should meet each other and hug each other, they have touched heart to heart and all that. That's a covenant. Show me from what passage of the scripture. You are going to make mistake as a minister if you refer to God said more than the Bible says. Because many times those who are saying God said don't even know how to hear God. So we are having doctrine from God told me this. God, show us what the God won't contradict the written word. Show us where it is written in the epistles. And this is very important. We see, we must go back to doing this thing the way it should be done. Church is just not one of those cards that people pick options. You discern where God is planting you and you stay there. You honor what God is doing in your life by doing what? By staying there. That's the way it works. And these things help you to build character. Such that you don't wait one day you get married and your spouse does something that you don't like. Say, I'm done with this marriage. Commitment is learned through perseverance. And this statement is not an excuse for the church to become abusive. We're going to get there tonight. Are you following what I'm teaching you here? Are you sure? Now, what are the common errors, common mistakes people make when they are hurt in church? Number one, silence, or what you call silent treatment. Anger has two dimensions. The first dimension, two manifestations. The first manifestation is explosion. The fellow is pained and speaks out and scatters everything. There is another hand or another dimension. That's implosion. This individual is caving and burst on the inside. You won't hear pim. But there are signs you will see. One of those signs is withdrawal. Another sign, neglect. People begin to make excuses for their God-ordained assignment. Let's say this fellow plays the drum. Going to come late to church. That tells you in the first place that the fellow has no revelation of who is accepting our service. I can't have mood not to do what I've been called to do. Listen, showing up and doing it is not a function of mood. What is the difference between, hold on a minute, I want to show you what service is. In terms of service to a child, what is the difference between a mother and a nurse? For a nurse, it is her job description. And there is a time, it doesn't matter how much you love the child, the job is over. You have to go home and rest. For a mother, it is a calling. For a nurse, it is based on salary. For the mother, it is purpose. For a nurse, it is one of those many things. For a mother, this is life. For one, if it doesn't work here, it will work somewhere else. For another, this child must survive. And these are the kind. So we have these kind of people in church. We have those who are serving. Then we have hirelings. If you serve without revelation, you become an hireling. And the reward of an hireling is not necessarily money. No, it can be praises. That, oh, you are doing well. Oh, safe. I'm motivated. Are you seeing that now? So people withdraw when they are offended. Silence. And let me say this to you. Silence is not always strength. We need to look at the fruit that is manifest. This fellow said, I'm not pained. I'm not hurt. This. But everyone that comes around you receives a share in the pain. So that tells us that, hey, there is a lot of demonic activity going on inside. Muddling things up. And the idea, what those demonic operations want to do is to block a man's eyes of understanding. So that he will see and perceive everything through their lens. Let me give you an illustration. I have water in this jar or whatever it is. The water is clean. But if I have a sieve and I pour dye in the sieve, as I pour the water inside, what happens to the clean water? It takes the color of the dye. That is exactly what filters look like. It is not what is happening. It is the lens you have been blinded with. Hold on a minute. The same place where you have sat down to hear the word happily, how come now the same place, what you see in every sermon is attack? It's not the sermon, it's the lens. The same man that has been a blessing. Oh, this. How come now when you see him, everything is just perceiving wrongly? It's not the man. Nothing has changed. It's the lens, the filter. For you to know it is the lens, copy and paste, it happens in marriage. If you don't learn forgiveness and recovery, you can't keep any relationship for long, including marriage. Because the same attitude will speak in every relationship. Hey, are you following what I'm saying here? Are you sure you are following what I'm teaching? Say loud and clear, I forgive much because I've been forgiven much. Say it again, I forgive much because I've been forgiven much. Listen. If you think this teaching is to make anybody stay in church, you are wrong. This teaching is an attempt to present the whole council as touching this subject. So I am not making hero out of the clergy and villain out of the pew. I'm showing you as it is. The things, the tests we fail, we repeat them. What happens is people get offended in certain church, go to another church. But the things they manifested that brought offense, they won't manifest it there. Another thing is, many believers have no real knowledge of what spiritual warfare is. Particularly in African setting. The belief of many people is that spiritual warfare is the attack on witches and wizards. It's too intelligent for that. That's not the way it works. Spiritual warfare is the raging battle against anything in your life that God has interest in. The highest battle cry of the devil in your life is to destroy the relationships that God has planted. That's the highest. Whether it is pastor to member, father to son and daughter, friends to friends. Go and check. Take, no, listen. Take, despite what I've just said now. Take inventory of the body of Christ. Look at it from different moves. What is the most attacked aspect of the body across every move? Relationships. What did I say? Relationships. That's the most attacked aspect. While I was praying towards this meeting, I don't want to get emotional. Not because I'm a robot, but because what I'm saying is very deep. All right? But let me just say this to you. Once the devil sees that you don't know about spiritual warfare, two things will happen consistently in your life. Number one, it will use people to attack you. And you will fight them, not the spirit behind it. Number two, it will use you to attack people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you. There are people that don't know that they have become whipped to frustrate their pastors. If the devil cannot get the pastor into immorality, he will use the member who is not discerning as a king to frustrate him. The member will be judged later. All I'm saying is that, let me show you from scriptures. Turn your Bibles there, Ephesians chapter number 4. All right, let's check scriptures. Ephesians 4. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you with me? Are you sure? You will need this teaching for a long time, so don't just take it and think after every series you have graduated from the knowledge. That's when you just start. Now, Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's start the reading from verse 9. Please pay attention. There's a reason why we need the context. It said, now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yes, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What happened? Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more what? Children. Alright? Because in the days of the maturity of the church, children are not assets. They are responsibilities. I will explain. Hold on. Look at it now. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That is what? Alright, I think I've read this for you in different renditions before. Let's look at this same scripture. Let's look at it in the Amplified Translation. And then we look at it in, what is it called now? Message Translation. Alright, are you there now? Ephesians 4 verse 14. Alright. So let's look at this in other rendition. Alright. Now look at what Amplify says. So we are no longer children, spiritually immature. That's the word children there. You see that? Tossed back and forth like sheep on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by cunning and trickery of unsuspicious men, by the deceit of scheming people ready to do anything for personal profit. Look, I love what TPT said, the Passion Translation. It said, and then our immaturity will end. And then, do you know what it means to be a mature Christian? Do you listen to what I'm saying? You can't be called a mature Christian until you know the heart of war. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen. The heart of war is the heart of love. The most powerful battles will be won through love. Let me tell you something I know. Check back this statement in another 20 years. If care is not taken, this generation will have the highest casualty of ministers that died young. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, I say what I'm saying with fear and trembling. Anybody who have mastered the anointing and have not mastered love will not live long. Listen. Offense kills. Don't just say offense is offense. I am saying offense kills. I will tell you stories. Church history. I've shared one of the stories before. Catherine Kuhlman was going to minister. This is a verified story shared by, what was his name again? Robert Lee Adon himself. She was going to minister in a meeting. She decided to invite a man who was a prominent teacher around. I'm going to give you balances. The man apparently had his own issues with her and said he's not going. All right? Said he's not going. She got offended. I'm trying to remember which one happened first. Anyway, she got offended, called the man false teacher and all that. She died less than 2 months after. There was another man who was going to do, he was a teacher. I can't remember which among those teachers now. But Leah don't share this himself. He invited Ketun Kuman for a crusade. Come and do the miracles and all that. She didn't go. The man called her a witch. He died 2 weeks after. Listen, people, my heart, sometimes I wonder if people understand. Now people go on social media, pastor to pastor, calling each other names. Have you not read? Many are falling asleep for these same things. Because when everything is starting, there's noise. But we are not paying attention to study those who have gone ahead. Check. Among those who lasted in the generation of the fathers are those who refused to pick offense. The Archbishop of Edepo and said, many of your colleagues started together. So only a few of you are on the scene now. What's happening? What happened? Said they got offended. Let me tell you this. There's nothing you can do. Quote me anywhere. Through Christ who strengthens me. That will make me offended at you. Worst thing that will happen, I will come and prostrate in your house early in the morning. Even if you are my son in the Lord. And I will leave. I've been trapped several times. This ministry will have been pecked several times. Event happened. Are you following what I'm saying? Event happened, body of Christ, relationships. I made a vow. I will not be offended. I listen to what I'm saying. There will be love. I may discover that this relationship is toxic for me and pull aside. This person will never be that person that I can't listen to and be blessed. This person will never be that person that I will see and be angry. This person will never be that person who can't share friendship and brotherhood. I may create distance if it's toxic to my heart, but I will never be offended. Let me say this to you. If you have not made this decision, you don't know what warfare is. You can shout. You can make noise. Sometimes the loudest are the first to fade out. I'm saying my own now. I see young ministers get offended anyhow. 2016, 2017, people were angry. I see young people go and post. I saw a young boy went to post on Facebook. He was speaking about Pastor He Adeboye. This boy just finished from campus. He said, they called you spiritual father of our Nigeria. You don't know eternal salvation, you are a spiritual boy. When I read that, I kept quiet. Many of these people are no longer in ministry. There's something called the peer pressure of ministry. What is trending? What people are listening to now? Let me jump. All right. There's no ministry where there's no conviction of calling. It doesn't matter what is trending. I stay with what I'm teaching and my style. God has sent me to a department of preservation. I stay with it. At the end, it will speak. Are you following what I'm saying? I have a revelation that many ministers will be preserved. So I know that for somebody like me, let me leave it. I mean, this is not a call to speak about myself. We can't talk because sometimes you talk and give the devil information. But you must make that vow. Until then, you don't know what a mature Christian is. It's not about, listen to what I'm saying. Paul was speaking. He said, even if I speak in tongues of men and angels, if I don't have love, I'm a sounding cymbal, a clinging cymbal. To tell you that the greatest force in this our journey is love. You'll be hurt, you will love again. If you know that you have the character of not healing on time, you need retreat. Something has happened. 2 years, still thinking about it. So I never remember. You need retreat. Withdraw first. And go and get Christian literatures that speak on the subject of love. Because love forgives. Are you following what I'm saying? Because I know I have people that I'm leading. They will not follow what I'm teaching. I know. You see, the place God has placed me, the challenge that comes with it, let me leave it. But listen, if you listen now, you must decide, though. The art of warfare in this kingdom is that you learn to respond to situations with love. Let's finish reading this message in Ephesians 4:14. He said, all right, and our immaturity will end. We will not be easily shaken by trouble. Listen now. Nor be led astray by novel teachings or by false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. Let me tell you what clever lie is. If you pay tithe, your pastor eating the money, he's clever. But it's a lie. Church is scamming you. Somebody went to post on Twitter on Sunday. Said there was traffic in Lagos. That pastors are cashing out. No problem. If it's that easy, come and join ministry. It's a clever lie. What many pastors don't know, unfortunately, is that many of those who are seated and looking at them no longer receive what they are teaching. I was attending a church one time. I won't mention the church. A boy was the one carrying Bible for the pastor. Whenever I go there, I shake my head. We know the boy. Every doctrinal persuasion he has is against the house. I'll be pissing the man is carrying Bible for. I say, hey. I'll be seated there. I'm looking. I say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This is deadly. Once he drops the Bible and leaves church, he will go back and tell the roommate that is pastor who happened to be spiritual father. Doesn't know anything. Following Sunday is back to church carrying the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Go there again. He will go to the church, come and hear what he's teaching. He will sit down with his roommate, analyze, tear. Tear his own father. Go back again, carry the Bible. We'll sit down in church and be looking at the drama and say, my God. They have believed clever lies. Why? We have many pastors now. Sorry, many managers, few shepherds. Listen to what I'm saying. Apologies. If what I want to say will hurt you. If care is not taken, what we call branching will be an attempt to put managers who will manage offering, tithe, and attendance. If care is not taken, we may begin to plant people who have no calling and who are not trained for ministry. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know what I'm saying. That's why I ask myself, as we need to start new branch, why? Why? Is it so they can say that sphere of light is growing? What if it pleases God that we should be in one branch for another 10 years? Are there still pastors that can hear that instruction? Are there still pastors? Because this generation directs men based on the size of car. Many people are, many ministers are under pressure. They want to write the card that makes statement when they enter the meeting so they can receive honor. It's not a bad thing to have a good car. But the motives must be right. Let me read the final translation I wanted to read for Ephesians 4 verse. I want to show you message translation. Are you being blessed or I'm boring you? Let me know so I can wrap up. Are you sure you are being blessed?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ephesians 4 verse 14, message translation. If you have your Bible in message, you can read. It said what? No prolonged infancies amongst us, please. We will not tolerate babes in the wood. Let me show you what prolonged infancies means. I once run a fish pond. Alright? All the fishes don't respond to feeding at the same rate. But what happens is that when they become stunted in growth, because the idea of selling them is based on the weight, feed from now till 20 years, they will rather be diminishing. Ask your neighbor, are you responding to feed? No, are you taking it? Are you responding to teachings? Is it working for you? Are you going with it? Prolonged infancies frustrate shepherds. There are people you pastor for 20 years. They are not profitable for ministry. 20 years. You can't tell them to take Sunday school class. 20 years. They don't miss church. They don't miss church. They hear everything. Oh, you've not seen what I said now felt brutal. You didn't like it. No, you didn't like it. Oh, I will say it again. I'm saying that people who have been in church for 20 years and are not profitable for ministry. The idea is that the believer should mature. Paul said when you ought to be teachers, you still need that you be taught again. I remember growing up in church. See those men with those dark shades. They've slept. Every service. And so why are you coming? No. This is the part where that grows men. What? Praise and worship, they are up. As the pastor says, this is the topic for today. The only thing is that they don't snore. For this. And the sleeping is so technical. That if the ushers wake them, they will never do like that. They are used to it. They just flow and say, I'm reading my Bible. Hey! Even the demons have without Jesus. That's a joke. Don't say apostle said demons. No, we need to ask your neighbor, are you growing? Ask again, are you growing? There are things called growth inhibitors. Many believers have in their lives growth inhibitors. Structures that they have built that is difficult to receive light in that area. There are people that no matter how much you teach them about marriage, their conclusion is that men has come. That's their conclusion. Men have forgiven them. Men has come. Finish teaching now. Now. They step out. What's your conclusion? Men ask him. You know why? You know why? They fellowship more with Twitter. Many have, they have screenshots of threads. There's one platform on Facebook. Unfortunately, I can't remember the platform. It's for women. It's a closed Facebook group page where women come to share their marital experience. And many young girls are there. Bitterness, pain, hurt. So many have built defenses for the hurt that has not come. Thereby they create it. He said, how did you know? I joined the group. It's the truth. Let me tell you what I did. Somebody around me was misbehaving. In fact, let me be honest. I was in a relationship. I saw that this girl, something is not right. So I started wondering what is good. So I saw that that's a problem. So I had to create a Facebook page. And I called the name, you say Juliana or something. And then look for a picture on Pinterest. I joined the group. I said, is this what this person is reading? If you marry this one, you're in trouble. I left the group the same day I left the relationship. It's a fact. I joined. Let me just advise. Men, you better know the WhatsApp group your wife belongs to. Let me leave it there. So it doesn't look like what is apostle trying to scatter here. Some of those WhatsApp group, the loyalty to them is deeper than the commitment to the marriage. Demonic. They can tell her to leave you. Oh, you don't believe. Huh? You don't believe what I'm saying. Okay. I don't even know how I got here. You are doubting me. I have proof. Oh boy, let me say this to you. Settle it before you marry that you feed from the same pasture. Because it doesn't look like I didn't tell you. My wife sometimes used to feel maybe I don't like women ministry. I do. But I just feel not many of them are mature enough to do ministry. When a girl is hot, she started ministry on it. Have you seen people that broke up and the same day they just started ministry? For those who are in pain. Heal! Your pain is not an invitation to ministry. Heal. That you are in pain doesn't mean you are qualified to help those who are there. You can't. No, heal. There are many ministries God didn't sanction. And that's why you see that once that pain is over, they start slowing down. It was not ministry. They just wanted to talk. You didn't get what I said. Yes, see, I'm not scattering any table. I'm just telling you what is the truth. Yes, sir. You go and check it now. Many ministries started when those girls had broke up. Boys are stubborn. Very stubborn. After 20 break up, they'll just be moving on. I've never seen a guy come for ministry for men who are going through emotional issues. He say, what's your problem? If you like, go and die. Men are very brutal. Have you ever show me one ministry for men, from a man? To fellow men who are going through issues. As if we don't go to. God doesn't call you to us. You see life. Men like you, you despise them. Well, I mean, get what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. Well, you need to go and ask yourself again. Why did I start this ministry? Oh
boy.
I refuse temptation to say what I should. Let me leave this place. I need to leave. All right. Say no more prolonged fast amongst us, please. We will not tolerate babes in the woods. All right. Small children who are easy mark for impostors. Are these deceivers? We will not tolerate them. All right. So tell your neighbor again, mature. Tell your neighbor again, mature. All right. You need to grow. You need to become perfected in love. That's maturity. You need to grow. See, throughout your life, somebody's going to offend you. The earlier you accept it, the better. So imagine you'll have to leave everyone that's offended you. Is that not the pattern you have started? Somebody will match on your toes. Somebody will lie against you. Somebody will frame you. Right, one of my boys left a girl. The girl, the relationship couldn't work. The girl granted an interview on radio. And shared the story. For almost 2 years, Facebook posts, back to back, was about him, with the first name mentioned. Are you following what I'm saying? Talk about acrimony. If you don't want people to cheat you twice, forgive them. Because they have offended you. Okay. Now you are in pain. You are holding it. Who is in pain? You. They are eating 3 square meals. You are the one who can't sleep. Let me say this to you. I wanted to say a statement, but so it doesn't look like I suppose he's endorsing something. Because we're in a very sensitive time in the body of Christ. We have to be ahead in thinking too, so that. So silence is an error. Once you are hot, speak up. Sir, this happened, I didn't understand. Sir, this, I want to explain my case. Pastor, Matt, this, I want to explain. Your departmental head, this. I don't know if you can hear me out. Communicate. Anywhere there's silence, there's assumption. Another mistake people make when they are out in church. They make conclusive decisions based on temporary feelings. I've spoken about this. And I told you on Sunday, never say never. Your worst regret will be around saying never. Never say. I used to see certain things online. They say, between your ex and taking poison, which you prefer? Yeah, that's all. I don't want to go into that. It's not my calling. Don't make permanent decision on temporary. You are angry today, you calm down tomorrow. So wait till you are calm, because you understand what I'm saying? To now wait again, whether you are right. All right? Number 3. When some people are offended, they begin to give side jabs. They start looking for a way to get back at their leaders. Today, I want to take time to celebrate leaders who are leaders indeed. I want to celebrate those who know the value of followers. I want to use today to celebrate those as a child. Are you following what I'm saying? I want to use today to celebrate those who God has called indeed. Today is Pastor's Appreciation Day. I want to appreciate all the pastors that understand my struggle. Those who are patient with me. Talombawi, who are you talking to? And see, let me tell you, because this is a wicked world. I tell pastors, I say, when people are celebrating, tell them to calm down. Who are they trying to get at and using you to do so? It's a wicked world. You are the one who likes to be on status and everything. The people will just use you. Once they get to the person, They forgive the person, they dump you again. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying everybody celebrating that pastor is using him. But I'm saying it exists. You too, pastor. You know, there's a old folklore tale of the lion and other the elephant and other animals when they wanted to kill the elephant. It's a folklore tale. They tried many ways to kill him. So finally, they decided to dig a pit. And they covered the pit with mat. Then they began to sing that they are going to crown the elephant. Aho merin joba eweku ewele. Aho merin joba. Aho merin joba. That is, we are going to make the lion the king. And they led him to the well-designed throne that was set on a pit. Come find yourself in the pit because you like praises. Let me give this advice. Be a pastor that money can't buy his love or loyalty or whatever the case may be. Be a pastor that loves people for who they are because they love Jesus. Not highest giver. Highest seed sower. Say those who know my value, they sow seed to my life. Pastor, is a pastor that is putting that status. Let me tell you, that temptation to begin to upload status when you are hot is a temptation. It's a trap. Then you now discover that there were quotes you found. That people who have gone through what you go through, what you are going through, and the devil gave inspiration, they have written something for you. You now say, that quote is true. And I'll bring it up. And begin to put it there to whom it may concern. Some will even set their WhatsApp status so that just that person alone will see it. For him. Then they'll be waiting for when the person will see it. Oh, you think, you see, you don't know that people have upgraded. There are boys now who celebrate 5 girls' birthday and only the girls will see it. Only the girls. I've told ladies that don't accept it when a guy posts on your birthday, I want to use this period to celebrate the love of my life. That is one stone that can kill 20 birds. Who are you talking to? Does he know her picture? Or she's AI? She has picture. I want to celebrate the love of my life. The one that makes my garden blossom and all that. Even Jesus asks, who am I? Who do? Well, that's just on a side note. Be careful of what you say when you are hot, because sooner or later you will recover. And you may never be able to recover those statements. Let me say this. I want to say a statement. See, have a note where you have the record of those who have been there for you in life in the days no one else showed up. Listen. I want to tell you a very important principle. Any attempt for the devil to make you pay them evil for good, run from it. Let me tell you something. I stayed at wake. I stayed awake at night. Right? I was doing a research. I just said to myself, I said, this thing Bishop Oyedepo used to say. All right? This covenant of life that works with this man, the way this man talk, there's something he knows. There's something here. I'm seeing truth. I'm seeing abundance. I'm seeing life. What is the secret? I started every messages I can lay my hands on. Every video. I was on it. I was searching. God, show me the light. Have you started with YouTube? And God, show me light about this person. What's this light? What's happening? I'm telling you, I've been there since night till like to 5. Just when I was getting tired, that will continue the following day. Because I had to rest. Alright, and then just when I was getting tired, I just saw a video pop up. It was just a video where he went on a visitation to the wife of one of his friends that passed on. I said, this is it. He's a man who has respect on covenant. I said, I found it. What I'm telling you cheaply, it took. But the idea is that when you receive something cheaply that you're not looking for, you can't retain. Yes, that's the way it works. But listen, Archbishop Idahosa's wife had her 80th birthday. He was the one that held her by the hand and walked her in. We are not saying others that Archbishop raised are not true sons. But I'm saying that we need to learn. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me say this to you. I have people in my life that it doesn't matter how much I say things are down. They can't call me twice for resources. If I don't have, I'll find ways to get. It's a covenant. Because in the days that I could not help myself, they stood up. I told one of my friends, I said, we are going back to the old street we lived in. We are going to go and look for so-and-so-and-so women. Even if it's going to be a seed of 1 million naira, let's sow it. These were the women that was giving us loan of spag and fish and oil and tomato paste. In the days that you have eaten and you are full, remember those that God used for you. To keep rising and say, what did they do? You see, listen, you will not know the meaning of breakthrough. That is the meaning of that pattern. Anyone who has paid evil, all right, for good, the Bible said evil will not leave his house. What I'm telling you is a very powerful secret. Do you have the list of those you must reward? Or you just move on and forget? Many of you will never even step back to those places again. You will see them and even ghost them like you don't know them. There are two kinds of reward, though. There are those who did good, but you thought it was evil. You grew to know it is good. Reward them too. Are you following what I'm saying? Because let me tell you this. Anybody can insult Bishop Oyedepo from now till tomorrow. That man knows something. Wise people build their life on principles. I was speaking to a man of God. We should have mutual respect for each other. I told him, I said, see, when our ministry started, we knew we wanted to be excellent, but we didn't have the resources. We patterned after you. We observed. We learned. We're following you back to back. You have been a blessing to our ministry. He looked at me and he said, Apostle, the way you talk, this generation of pastors don't talk like that. People want to gain from people and deny them. And when they meet, you're not doing bad. not competition. Are you following what I'm saying? These are principles. I've said it. Even after having my grandchildren, as long as my father is still alive, anytime I see him, I by myself cook his best food. Myself. You have followed me to the market before. I wanted to share things, but many people don't know the reason why they are experiencing stagnation. They are not people who are working with principles of wisdom. I will say what I've said and leave it here. Enough said. True? Enough said. Do you have friends who were best friends and good friends to you who had passed on, but they still are parents? What have you done? Let me leave it. All right? Number five. The fifth mistake people make against when they are out in church is that they gang up against the church or church leadership. They form clique. For gang up to happen, they look for the association of out or association of sympathy. Those who share the same belief, those who share the same thought. Listen, I have a plea. I've said this before. One man's anger can never end the church. Whether the church is right or wrong. Please, just note. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. It is important to note battles you can't win. Number one, you can't fight God and win. Number two, you can't fight your parent and win. Number three, you can't fight your spiritual parent and win. No, you can't win. The one who will have to bow at the end of the day is you. Unless you are not a sheep. You know the opposite. There are people that God cannot entreat. The Bible says, James now speaking. Said the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, peaceable, then easily entreated. Do you understand what I'm saying? Never allow yourself and people form clique against the church. It's a crime. It's a crime. It's wrong. It's wrong. It should never happen. If you see people forming such clique, pull yourself out. Never sit in the seat of the scornful. Never. Never. You must tell yourself, I will never sit in the seat of the scornful. Say loud and clear. Say it again loud and clear. Say it again loud and clear. All right. Anywhere people sit down to discuss people. I mean, are you aware people sit down to discuss their pastors? Discuss their pastor's wife. Yap them. Tear them to pieces. Come back and say amen to their prayers. And you wonder the reason why there is no shift. Say, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand by the way of sinners, nor sit. Because, listen, it is very easy to walk where people are ungodly. Say, I'm just passing by. Stand where sinners are. Say, I'm checking so I can learn. So I see what not to do. But it is easy to sit where people are scornful. Because you share in the bias. I say, I think what they are saying is true. I remember one time we sat down after a meeting, very tired at night. Some people were talking, and then the conversation went towards talking about a pastor. As that thing started, I heard a loud sound within me. Get out of there! I just packed my Bible. I said, I have to go now. I am very tired. I'm sorry. I have to go. I don't have the liver. Listen to what I'm saying. I would rather wear my headset and shut my ears. I don't have the energy. How do you do it? Don't you know? Listen to what I'm saying. The pastor you need the most is the one the devil will make you fight. He will make you, he will try to make you desecrate the place where you have inheritance. What you look for in church is not just peace and love. It is your inheritance. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anywhere I'm not celebrated, I'm not going to stay there. That does not concern church. I don't even know the doctrinal value of that statement. I don't know who started it. I have said too many important things tonight. Most of which you need to go back to this teaching. And say, let me hear this again, because you didn't really hear. Are you following what I'm saying? If we will not vanish on the way like smoke and we will finish. Let me tell you this. Build your life on love. Listen. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. You listen. You will watch many events start and finish, and you will still be standing. I have begged my friends. In fact, I called one of them to my house. I said, please, agree with me. You will never use your sermon to get at anybody in the body of Christ. The popular minister, I said, listen, I want to see you by my side when the noise is over. I was speaking to my friends yesterday. If we were here when we did the inauguration of this church, when we did the opening service, one of the words that came out is that we know why God is sending apostles to Abuja. It's for the unity of the brethren here. One of my friends called me and said, do you know that it's because you are in town? That's why many ministers are greeting each other today. I said, I don't know. He said, before you came, they don't do it. I don't do anything. I don't, you know, I go and call people. And what I do is that I don't take side. You can't win me over. I'm not a fool. How will I fight your battle? Oh, you don't like him? Ah. He's a good man, no. I know you are a good man too. He's a good man. You need to know him. That's the end. Both of you are good people. What will I say? Do you understand what I'm saying? When was the last time you spoke to us? So you said, we've not spoken this year. I speak to him. This is on the phone. Do you understand what I'm saying? Go and tell somebody and say, Apostle Lazarus said, never. I won't talk. That's the way it is in my family. I belong to every camp. I'm telling you. I don't have clique. After I brought a man of God to our church, 2 months later, I brought the person he hates. How is he doing it? I don't know. I say I don't belong anywhere. I belong to Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? This person has hurt you. I will never bring to my platform. I lie. Go bring him. He didn't do anything to me. Let me leave what I've said. Because the worst form of foolishness is to fight the battles that doesn't concern you. There are those who are the ones that leave church. Meanwhile, what happened didn't happen to them. It happened to their roommate. See, my roommate is a wonderful person. I've never seen her cry like this. For her to cry like this, this church are evil. The person will leave. The roommate now get promoted, ordained as a minister. Who's lost? What's your problem? Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't gang up against the church. So people do that and it backfires. Number four and number six now. Intention to defeat the church structure because of what? So we're going to break down the system. We'll break down the structure. All the way they honor pastors in this church. It's not your honor. I'm going to make sure I collapse it. You can't. You can only destroy what you build. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gate of hell will not what? Prevail against me. Intention to defeat the church. Once you are angry, settle the animosity. Don't try to defeat the church. You can't. Don't try to destroy the structure. You can't. It's a trap. Number seven. Apart from the intent to defeat church structure, some begin to spite the structure. And say, what's there? What's there? What happens is that they lose the revelation behind the structure. Do you understand what I'm saying? They lose the revelation. Before you get angry at anything now, know that you are not the only human being on earth. What is not working for you has worked for others. First, check the wisdom value behind it. Do you understand what I'm saying there? All right. Number eight, mistake people make. Hatred for leaders or certain ordinances in the church. Some just hate the leader. I hate him. I hate her. How do you hate? How do you hate? In the book of 1 John, the Bible equates hatred with murder. Meaning that it's the same weight. True or not true? Same weight. First John 2:9. He that said he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. Even until now. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walk in darkness. What happens when you are in darkness? You can't see value or recognize value. So when you, one of the signs that you hate a person is that you don't see anything good in them. You just don't see anything good. See that fellow. And we have many ways of saying I hate now. Say I don't fancy the person. That's a unique way we used to say I hate. Say I don't fancy that person. Say that's the statue. I don't fancy her. Yeah, I don't fancy her. Look at the way she's dancing. That's why I said I don't fancy her. Maybe it's a protocol. See, watch. She will come and tell us that we should sit in another seat now. Watch. As the person is coming, we'll give her a boy. Say, I don't fancy her. Say, she was greeting you, say, I don't answer with those I don't fancy. Church, oh, not only will church. I say, we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. The tongue will be so sweet, but the heart is dark. Do you have people you don't fancy? I don't fancy this person. I don't fancy. Tell your neighbor, repent. Tell your neighbor again, repent. 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. Pastors, don't hate members. You see, those blessed ones that's frustrated you. See, listen. Let me teach you the principle of coping with difficult members. Never change your good opinion about them. Listen to what I'm saying. Just decide that I insist this person is a good person. Everybody you talk to, tell them that guy is good. I said it's good. Call the things that be not now as though they... You want to see changes.
Insist. I said, yeah. That boy. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because listen to what I'm saying though. The same way the Bible is for all of us. As a pastor, you have more tendency to hate. Because you are receiving many blows. You just begin to say, I'm avoiding that person. Don't let them, say protocol, that person outside, don't let the person come and greet me. Say, when she comes again, let her go. Hatred has entered. When you begin to use protocol to wind people out of your life, hatred has entered. One time, a girl woke up to me in church and said, I just want to tell you I hate you. I said, why? She said, how can everybody like you? I knew she liked me. Forget, I knew. I said, no problem. Life is not easy for the blind. That's what I told her. Life is not easy for the blind. I have no problem. So I just hate you. You. I lie. You've been looking for this opportunity to talk. And I won't entertain you. One time we went to go and shoot at a photo studio. One town like that. I don't want to mention the town because the town people are here. So I'm disrespecting their town. As we entered, the girl at the reception just started behaving rudely. I was wondering, what's your problem? What have we done? My cousin that went together said, don't mind her, she's intimidated. And it's true. One thing about low self-esteem is that you bring people to your level that you can now relate. You talk them down in your mind. Then you feel convenient. Say, okay now. Never give yourself reasons to hate people now. You sit down and now begin to say, yes, I'm going to get 1,001 reasons. This fellow, you can't tell yourself, say, hey. That's when you now begin to hear, bear no knee. That's how this fellow, that's how that is you. That's how. So you now see you have so many. I'm supposed to enter what to do when you are hot. Let me quickly wrap this up. What to do when you are hot. Then I can quickly take questions. Can we quickly do that? All right. Number one, pray. Now, this sounds like cliche, but write it down. I know you won't do it, but write it down. No, I know. Write it down. Let me tell you the reason why you'll have to start learning to do it. Your response in every situation is a reflection of the revelations you have. What you respond with in every situation is what you really believe. Let me say this to you. The earlier you learn it, the better. Because you will get married. And the person you love the most, that sugar in your tea, that sugar will hurt you. And you will have to pray. Have you ever prayed for the person that has offended you before? To kneel down and pray and say, God, first, I receive strength to love. Secondly, help me touch this person's heart. If you have not done it, you have not started the Christian love walk. What makes you feel when the church ought to you shouldn't pray? And that's the dilemma of ministers. When Moses was with God on the mount, several times God made up his mind he wanted to wipe out these guys. Moses begged. When God was angry with Moses, there was nobody in the place of prayer. The same way God changed his mind about them, he could have changed his mind about Moses if only there was a man to pray. That's even level one. Level two is to wish people bad because you are not happy with them. That's witchcraft. Just like not all angels have wings, not all witches fly. This person doesn't fly, but this is a witch. You're waiting for the day they will hear the person have accidents. Oh, it happens. If they say so, I'm so stupid, have you heard?
Pray. Huh? Pray. What did I say? What did I say? Pray. Pray for your heart. When you are hot, go to the place of prayer. You will not have the wisdom to respond without prayer. There's a reason Jesus spoke in Luke 8. He said, this Bible I tell them, men should pray and not faint. The moment you are not praying, you will faint. I will tell you, for if this ministry will not be existing without taking matters to God in prayer. Some matters will deal with your heart like this. You just go and crash and cry. Talk, God, I don't know what to do here. Has it happened to you before? I don't know what to do here. Check your life. All the signal you have responded to, is it common sense or proven sense or wisdom from the place of prayer? If it is wisdom from God, it will always be nothing missing, nothing broken. Do you pray when you are hot? Number three, listen to this. Communicate with the intention to get help. Now, I have seen people come to meet me before and like, so this happened. And you can see that the way they are talking, they want help. They want solution. They want to get understanding. That goes smoothly. But there are people when they communicate, as they are communicating, one might just say, Lara, be removing it in your body. Be dropping it. Be dropping the jab. And say, anyways, I wasn't offended, but I just know that the pastor who is in his right mind should not have. They are dropping the jab. Particularly when they say, with all due respect, the next thing is disrespect. You understand? Go and check now. Anybody who starts a standard actually is not about to say, is about to give an excuse. Anybody who say with all due respect is about to disrespect you. With all due respect, sir. I know that if this is a church that pray or that God planted, this. I have seen somebody who was arguing with the pastor. They were trying to settle a matter. It was not going well. The person got up and said, "You came and pray, pastor. It's because I'm calling you pastor." I'm telling you things that are happening inside life because I'm calling you pastor. So tell you, there are people that now, the threshold is not deep. Now, just they will change it. And say, you call yourself a pastor. That's why if you can survive ministry around your peers, you most likely survive. Because they are the ones who cast their revelation of who you are. And we must hail campus president and campus pastors. Aha. It's work. It's work. Many of those that they are pastoring, it is what it is. All right. So communicate with intention to get help. All right. While doing so, understand that it is not everything that is paining you have to say. Some you wait and know when to bring them in. If everybody should say what is paining them the same day, there will be chaos. There will be trouble. All right. In fact, there are things that you may never even have to say because you have to move on. This person may not even understand in 10 years' time. So what's the point? Are you following what I'm saying here? See, you forgive not because the one who ought to has changed. You forgive because that's Bible, that's the commandment of scriptures. Say, it's easy to forgive person who has changed. No, you don't forgive because people have changed. You forgive because God commands it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Number three. Remember what brought you in the first place. When you are hot, and that temptation comes to make extreme decisions, remember why you came. The days you didn't have that access, how much you wish you had it. Remember the days you came, the first butterfly you felt in your belly, in your tummy. The way you were so excited. This. All right? Remember. And be careful in making your decisions. Number four, pray again. This time around, pray against offense. And understand that the moment you need to pray against offense is when you keep saying you are not offended. I'm not offended. I'm not offended. I'm just not going to join the workforce anymore. I'm not offended.
Oh God, you dey vex. You are offended. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. The devil is waiting for you to be offended. Let me say this to you. Peter was speaking. He said, the devil, your adversary, is moving about like a wounded lion, looking for whom he should devour. All right. The strategy that he was described is the strategy of a lion. I think I saw this analogy. When lions want to attack, when they want to hunt, the male lions rarely go for hunting. What they do is that they stand somewhere, their voice can be heard, then they roar. The females that hunt would have been strategically positioned. Are you following what I'm saying here? When the male roar, all the herds that are eating will run. As they are running, they will not hunt. They will wait for the one who is not running in equal direction. Or anyone that is isolated from the fold, they go after that one. Anything that makes you isolated from the church has positioned you to be haunted. And don't forget, you can be haunted, shared, and still live many more years. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, pray against offense. Pray against offense. Number 5. Understand that life is 20% what happens to you and 80% your response. Life is likely about the way you respond to issues. Respond well. So life is likely your response. The way you respond to issues. Not just about what comes. Same temptation comes to all, but how we respond to it differs. Praise God. Alright, so respond correctly to situations. All you think you have will be proven by the test of offense. For you to even survive leadership in any ministry, you must have survived offense. You can't lead anywhere if you have not passed the offense test. It's a test everybody will pass. All right, understand fully well that once your heart is set up against the church, you can no longer be blessed there until you repent. Let me take this also. What you need to know about the local assembly. So what you need to know about your local assembly. Number one, it is the church of God. Know this by revelation. Number one, your local assembly is the church of God. Number two, he planted you there in his wisdom and you are not wiser than him. He planted you there in his wisdom and you are not wiser than him. If you can't see the reason yet, the future is enough to show you. Number three, the pastor you don't like is the pastor you need. Yes. Because most times they confront the things in your life that you don't need. Please put that statement in context, because a pastor can be a wrong pastor. Who is insecure, who is injurious, who has not discerned his people, who caught them to sizes, who ate them. And never be such pastor. Bitterness can take you on a journey of no return. Number four. Just like children under their parent, there are things that are good for you, but you don't know they are good for you yet. So seek understanding about the practices and principles of your local assembly. In fact, don't approach the practices by attack. Seek to understand it first. There are things we do that are a result of proven wisdom. This thing works, sir. And we are not going to change. Because we know the revelation behind them. Number 5. The structure of your local assembly will outlive you and outlive the pastor. Correct church structure outlive all of us. Number 6. Your anger can't pull it down. Your anger can't pull down the church structure.
Number 7, the structures in your local church deals with more issues than you can ever know. It deals with, correct, balances more issues than you can ever know. Why does pastor work with protocol members? When you become a pastor, you find out. I've given you an example about people worshiping and eating your private parts because you have decided to be funny, not humble. Say you don't know. Say, this sister, you too. You should have had people that can help you say, please excuse. True or not true? No, I have to be very raw. Because people can say, look at pastor. Say, in fact, I saw a song. Say, pastor, no one go heaven. Pastor use money where member give him Bible approved car and all that. That tells you that the expectation of the world was for the pastor to prove he's a good pastor is that they have blown off his head. Are you seeing this work we have received? So because the pastor now didn't die, they say, pastor, no one go heaven again. Say you see where they came out from. I'm tempted to sing this song. This life. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, there is a very strong level of hatred for pastors. And that hatred is not from people. It is from the devil. But you see, people carry out his bidding once there is an entry. Yes. Yes. Praise God. Number 8. The church is also evolving just as you are. What that means is that the church is a growing system. The church is both an organization and an organism. Ephesians 4, the earlier part, describes the church as a body. It is a body with functional duties and structural duties. So, it grows. Every local assembly grows and evolves. Ideals change as growth occurs. Have revelation enough to grow with the church. Praise God. Now I'm going to take questions. Please help me welcome Barrister Tolu as he joined me upstage. Please keep clapping so we can take the questions together. All right, so we have received different anonymous questions from different, those are some of those questions from different places. So, all right.
Thank you very much, sir. This person is asking, good evening, Apostle. Good evening, Apostle. This series is timely. Thank you, sir. Sir, the first mistake you taught us tonight is that people remain silent when they are offended. Does this mean that silence is never a way to handle offenses?
Yes, because you need to talk. You need to talk things through. And as long as you have not talked it through, you are not God to say you'll just be fine. So try and know the entry point to bring conversations in so that your heart can be dealt with and you can get light. Same thing as marriage. You need to talk things through. Anything you sweep under the carpet will grow again. So yes, silence is not an option. And sometimes, if you are not able to get directly to the leader, there are those who are in the system who knows things better and can put the person through. They can also help. But the danger of that is that if you speak to anyone whose heart is affected, they will finish you. Yes, sir.
What should I do if I feel like my minister are too negative in their tones when I do something wrong? It's sometimes not encouraging.
The person needs to speak up and tell them, or speak to the resident pastor, The resident pastor over them. There's a need for a conversation. That's why I said, that's why this teaching is also a way to treat leaders. Because the temptation is very high. Once you change your impression about the person you are leading, you will not know when you become negative in responding to them. The things you pardon in others, because you have concluded that this person is this. So it is possible the leader has concluded, and the leader too needs help. But they need to speak to a leader above the leader, so they can now call and settle it. Is it clear? Good.
Does the church have a solid policy for homes and marriage? If marriage becomes too rough, does the church allow or support divorce? Can a couple who worships in the church decide to divorce?
Let me tell you. No, let me just tell you. What we do is that we will do our own part. We join people together. We don't scatter them. All right? If two people decide that there's nothing we can do, they can't live together, that's at the level of the government. If both of them decide that they want to go separate ways, it is their decision. We will counsel and seek the best out of it. But we will never throw anybody away because they left each other. If the both of them can cope in the same church, we'll pass on them together. We will. We will not throw you away. We will not call you a devil. But we will try. And we are still going to keep trying to see that we can fight for the way it can come back. But if it's becoming a case of, I'd rather die than marry this person. Alright, so that is the stand. Because even Jesus himself, God will not come down and break your head. So we are not senior Jesus. Alright, so that's it.
What should I do when I offend a pastor and he refuses to forgive even after several months of sincere apologies? He doesn't answer greetings even when what was done is not a big deal. And people with lesser mistakes are obviously being forgiven easily.
So, I don't know. If it's possible for me to see the pastor and see the person. But if it's an external question, I've seen this happen before. Then let me also give another side to this. We cannot judge a matter we don't know. But however, no matter what the matter is, that the fellow now greets you, don't answer. That's devilish. All right, that's devilish. But what happens is that people get forgiven, but they don't forgive themselves. They will now begin to interpret everything in the light. Maybe it has taken the pastor time to respond to the message. Say, look at him, he has not forgiven me. Because we have to bring that part. Maybe we send the pastor a message. The pastor say, okay, all right, I'm going to reply to the person later. Say, are you seeing that now? He's a wicked person. If somebody else would have replied. So there can be assumptions here. We don't know what it is. This person can come out in the camera, then we can get into this well. All right?
This person says, thank you for the teaching, sir. Sorry. How do you deal with this kind of thought as a pastor when you still have to keep teaching when the congregants aren't coming into the understanding of past teachings?
That's our cross. You will repeat. Anybody who is very attentive will know that dealing with church ought is the continuation of how to keep your estate. You will repeat the same thing with different topics. That's what a good shepherd does. The frustration is real. But repetition is the solution. And prayer. Withdrawal is never the solution. Continue, please.
What do you do when the effect of a leader's leadership on your heart doesn't want to make you come to church anymore and it's unavoidable?
The issue is that when you see you can't cope, you can change church. Don't leave Jesus. Don't leave church. Because I just needed to say that statement. But these are also voluminous. These are not just petty issues. What has happened? For how long has it happened? What have the church done as efforts to help you? How well have you received it? Who is not forgiven? Why are you not letting go? Who are you? Are there patterns to this? These are things we investigate. So, sitting here to answer a question is not to make one judge and jury of matters you don't even know. So, I still make bold to say that many of these questions, the ones that we can answer directly, we do. But bulk of them will be things that we need to know the details and the fact. So, we don't be a part of somebody's sin and be a part of somebody's error. All right.
Thank you, Apostle, for this privilege. My dad has been a pastor under a church for many years. And for those number of years, the salary of the family and him over. At a point, he was called and he can't be paid anymore. He was called, does not be paid anymore. And size, sorry. The ministry generally does not emphasize elders or of pastor trying to override the pastor and make decisions behind him. And when the pastor takes the matter to the head, it's looking like...
Why do I feel... Well, that's a joke. So I can answer well. Now, in fact, let me tell you this. For everyone that has brought this kind of matter to me, affected to it, I ended up avoiding get out. And I won't say it. But I can advise. The church should show clearly that you have the interest of those who are serving at heart by making sacrifices for that. That is my advice. This person should check his or her heart. Do I still want to remain here? Because in some of these cases, the church is not taking care of the person and they are saying it's full time. In fact, this is the reason why many pastors' children in this setting hate to marry a pastor. Because they have seen the treatment their parents receive. Alright, so that's my counsel. Do I still want to remain here? Am I here by revelation? Can I cope? Is this working? If it's not working, reach out to the system. And if you know that your integrity, your heart is affected, for the sake of your integrity, bow out. That's my counsel. Like I said, pastors, churches should learn. I don't want to talk, so it doesn't look like I'm advertising our pastoral system. But I just feel churches should try and take care of their pastors. That's my counsel.
So this person is asking, how can I cope and handle my biological father, who is spiritual but is stumbling block of offense? I have decided to go very far from him to avoid being constantly offended. Am I not still offended?
Honestly, I don't know how to answer this question. But let me say this to you. You obey your parents in the Lord. That is, you obey them when it does not contradict scriptures. There can be situations that can make you pull back because a core aspect of your life is about to be affected. And they will blame you for it later. But I would like for this person to reach out privately so I can know the matter. If you won't mind. And then we can. I will not decide that I know what you are talking about. Next question.
Thank you, sir, for the teaching. How do we help those who are hurt and offended with God?
Well, number one, we reflect God's love to them. I was speaking to one of my friends yesterday night about running ministry in Europe. And he said to me, he said, a ministry that understands love work will grow here. Because this is an environment where people are likely depressed. People are offended at God, but they can see God through our lenses. Alright? And until that has happened, that's when they will now listen to what we have to say. So we reflect who God is. It is until then we can do any other thing. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Apostle, for this timely message. My question is, what if your pastor is one who talks about you and condemns you continuously, and this makes you feel bad about you? What should one do in that kind of setting? Should I leave or stay?
That is, this fellow have a pastor who talks bad.
Yes, sir.
All right, I have said this. I shared a story of a time that I trusted a pastor with my life. In fact, I thought I had come to the point where I found a spiritual father. What he did was that he made my life the sermon for some months. Pastors need to understand that whenever you don't yield to this temptation, you yield to that temptation of saying that you are losing the person. All right? So, number one, in that case, there's no clarity. Let me tell you what happens. This is what happened. In fact, there are many things to it. But let me give the advice. Many times to preach, one of the tools of preaching is illustration. One of the tools of illustration is stories. Avoid the stories that those who are involved are still around. Better still, pick stories from years. So you can be safe. There are times that they can be identical stories. The person said, "This is me." This is why I said there must be communication. Any pastor you cannot communicate with is an abusive relationship. That's it. Let me tell you something. One day I was speaking with my spiritual father. We're having a conversation. So he was saying I should do something. I said, "Sir, I have a question." He said, "Go ahead." I said, "What you have asked me to do you do it?" He laughed. He laughed. Then he explained. So I will not live there asking that. No, what he says I should do now, he doesn't do it. I won't. He knows I honor him. God knows. The devil knows. So I said, "Sir, what you have said, everything you have said, I understand. And I'm ready to do it, sir. But, sir, do you do it?" And he understood my heart. Then he explained. If I'm somewhere I can't ask that, it's abusive already. All right? Communicate. See, living anywhere is the final result. There must be many options that failed before you leave. Explore those options. Is it simple enough? All right.
Good evening, sir. You said to withdraw from someone that's hot to protect yourself. What if the person is your spouse, sir?
I answered this on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
I think I answered this on Sunday.
A number of the questions here.
They are not related to the topic. Let's take two and then we just call it a day.
All right, sir.
So many of those questions are not related to what we are discussing and we might have to just shy out. Yes, sir.
A lady introduced a friend to her partner as a pastor, but they are in a relationship. And
wait. Come again.
A lady introduced a friend to her partner.
So,
as
a lady introduced her own friend.
A friend. To her partner.
To whose partner?
Her own partner.
Her own relationship partner.
Yes, sir. As a pastor.
Okay.
But they are in a relationship.
Who understands this question? Okay, she introduced. Okay, I think I get it now. The guy is telling her pastor that he's her friend. They're actually dating.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, yes, let's try.
And it has affected the relationship. What does he do?
Well, whatever is the reason why the fellow couldn't come out straight should be dealt with. You don't have to lie. Once you are old enough to do something, own it. Okay? I own up to it. Reach out and say, I made a mistake, sir. Or ma. That person actually, we've been dating and all that. And then everything will be fine. Sometimes we make mountain out of a molehill. Sometimes people conclude without consulting the person. And they just believe that, the family will be angry. Speak first. And then set yourself free. Alright, so that's my counsel.
Okay, we have new ones. It says, sir, I have a question that has been bothering my mind. Is it good for a pastor to send a member away from the church on the basis of not influencing others because of the person's misdeed? And you said the church should not neglect their wounded lion.
All right, yes, the church can excuse somebody from the church. Let me say this to you. Listen to what I'm saying. No. The church has two sides. Once you are infected, you get treated. Once you become the unrepentant infection, for the sake of the rest, we'll show you the way out. This is an emotional question. And the person who have asked this needs to check the heart because there's hurt there. Get what I'm saying. There are things the church does. You say, you go to church, listen to what I'm saying. I have seen cases. People become very, very toxic to the system. And they enter the church when the service has started. They will not repent. They will not apologize. In fact, let me tell you. I tell people, if you are no longer happy here, we prioritize your happiness. Don't stress yourself. The church is not a cult. So the church can show people a way out. The church can excommunicate. And there are principles for that. All right? There are build up for that. Particularly when the person becomes unrepentant. We have dragged back forth. Excommunicate. That is, we have decided that we are counting this person as an unbeliever. Go to where you can't be learned. Where you can. Particularly, you don't have a revelation about a pastor and say this person, I hate this pastor, I hate this church. Then go to a pastor that can pastor you. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are facts. Let me tell you. I wanted to give examples, but I won't. But what the church should not do is to show the people the way out without mercy. Tell them this is the consequence of this. Your presence here is now a problem. However, are you willing to appeal? Are you willing to apologize? Watch out. If they can, restore them. They say, many things take time to be built. So you now allow one person to bring it down because you want to be kind at the expense of others. No way. So there are principles behind the church. It's not for wimps. Very firm principle. More questions. I'll take two more, then we'll close.
This person is asking, at what point can you walk up to your pastor to tell him he has offended you, given that you respect your pastor and it might be quite odd for you to hold such a conversation with him or her?
Let me plead. Let me plead. Okay, let me share an example. One of my spiritual daughters came to see me. And she said, I've come to challenge you, and I know you will listen to me. So I said, I'm listening. Then she appealed and said, sir, these are the things you are doing I don't like. Some people have complained to me. And let me tell you what happened. I honor their boldness. And I said to her, I said, you know you can talk to me. I said, yes. I said, everything you have told me that I'm doing wrong, I will reverse my decision. I said, you said so-and-so person have negated. I said, yes, I'm going to reverse my decision. I said, the reason is because I'm going to go and do what you have asked me to do. And you will see that I'm right. And I told her, I said, this person doesn't value me. Let me release this person. I said, no. I have spoken with this person. Papa, this is, I said, no problem. I picked my phone. I called the person. I said, somebody has appealed on your behalf. After making that call, the fellow never reached out again or did anything. I said, I'm right. Let me say this to you. Don't live a life of bondage. See, systematically build a relationship with your leaders in a way you can talk. And there is a wisdom for communication. It's not an abusive place. Sir, I don't know how you see it. Any form of honor that can't make you talk is abusive.
Let me say this, I'm not telling you what I'm not practicing. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm telling you what I'm practicing. That's why I use myself as an example. Alright? Maybe not everybody might be able to do it, but I'm telling you it happens. Every now and then somebody reach out and say, if you think it is a weakness, try it. Pastor, this is happening and all that. In fact, I won't share this example. Alright? So, communicate. Then it will be easy to communicate before your emotions are involved. Once your emotions get involved, you will not be able to. Once it has happened, sir, I have an issue, know how to come now and then say it. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? But it also depends on the kind of pastor, because if not, you go collect. So let me put the balance there. So know the person that you have too. That's wisdom. If it's not the kind of person you can communicate to, speak with those you know are correctly positioned around him that can now facilitate a conversation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes that somebody can't talk to the pastor doesn't mean the pastor is abusive. The fellow might be timid or just respectful. Many things can be a factor. This is church. You must understand it. Is it clear? Final question for the night.
Please, how do I balance heart connection and spiritual covering when one is submitted to a spiritual father and then is committed to a local assembly whose lead pastor I am instructed by God to serve under?
I think we answered this question on Sunday.
No.
Or something similar. Ask the question again.
How do I balance heart connection and spiritual covering when one was once submitted to a spiritual father and then is committed to a local assembly whose lead pastor the person is instructed to serve under?
I think the way it works is that it is not everybody who have sons and daughters that are members. So how are they coping? Your father is your father. Sometimes you may not even be around where the church is. So, you understand what it is. That's the person you learn from. That's the person you are accountable to. The fellow should listen to my teaching on spiritual fathering 1-3. Then it will be clear. And it's not everybody that is in church that I father. Can't do it. How many people can I? You know the kind of wahala I'm in because of. I'm sorry to use that word. You are not wahala. All right. But what I'm saying is that it's work. It's work. So a pastor should not attempt to father everybody. That's my counsel. That's my counsel. And that counsel, many ministers will not like it. But the church will be small if you attempt to father everybody. Pastor the church. Father your children. The moment you begin to pastor the church like you are fathering them, the church will not grow. They will show you that not everybody is your children. Some just want pastors. Be a pastor. What I'm trying to say is that at church level, pastor. At personal level, father. Period. That's my counsel. All right, we come to the end of the questions and answer session. Have you been blessed?
Yes, sir.
I mean, these questions are serious. I want to appreciate everybody. Help me celebrate Pastor Tolu, please. All right. Let me say this before I leave. In life, people disagree and make up. Check the pattern of your life. If the number of those you disagree with and could not make up is more than those that you made up with, you have not been growing. If you find out that bulk of those you disagree with, you separated, you are not living the believer's life. This teaching is to help both the pulpit and the pew. And I'm glad that many ministries and ministers
are finding these as resource materials that will help us. Nobody knows the end of it. When you go to the gym, even your coach needs to gym. One time my trainer said he also has a trainer. Let me tell you something. Something happened to me recently. My heart got affected about a matter. The moment the fellow get up on the phone with me, what the fellow has said to me will damage my heart. The moment the call ended, I shut the door. I began to play the message of Pastor Poju, the pitfall of offense. The moment that conversation ended, I began to play that message. I was there for another 1 hour, 30 minutes. By the time I had done, I had seen what the trap would carry that hurt to God's presence. I'm telling you. And both of those messages, I have them on replay. Again and again. Because you can't outgrow it. I was talking to one of my, I think Sam. I said, have you observed? People can spend 7 hours in the gym every day and not be fit. Why? The activities that makes you fit, they leave it and start building muscles. They are at the gym. Listen to what I'm saying. I want to say something very important. You can never outgrow the activities that are needed for spiritual fitness. The practice of forgiveness is an activity needed for that. The practice of forgiveness, the practice of love work is an activity. Once you are not doing it, you can preach. You are like the one building muscle. But you will not be fit. You can gather a whole stadium, but fitness, you no go have. Do you understand what I'm saying? Before I ask you to pray, I had to make a decision. Should we not teach people to give because they'll be offended? Or we just do what we do and pray for their heart? We are giving in this season towards missions. Don't be offended. Give. And do it by revelation. Once it is sacrificed, it does not have to be convenient. But to just sit and say, I'm not going to, I give my tithe, that's all I'm going to do, is to already distance yourself from the house. Are you following what I'm saying here? What I said is still standing. This is the first week in August. We are leaving this place this month. Let me tell you what I didn't say. If it will mean selling my last clothes, we'll leave this place. That's the part I didn't say. So, buckle your shoes. We're in this together. Before I leave, put your right hand on your chest and say, Father, help my heart against offense. In the name of Jesus. Please pray for yourself. All right, pray the prayer loud and clear. And ask God to help you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we're praying.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.